The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Be sanctified in me, O Lord. Sanctify your great name. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Now, Hebrews is, scholars don't know who wrote Hebrews. And some say one and some say another. And we know the Holy Ghost wrote it. So that's the most important thing. But it does seem to be written to Jewish believers. But it is written to all believers. And it just has some wonderful things in it explaining. See, a lot of people think that the Old Testament is no good anymore. But it has great value. The Old Testament has great value because if we didn't have a picture of what things were, we wouldn't know anything about it.
Thank you, Lord.
So, this is giving us basically a picture of the tabernacle and of the high priest and of the services of the tabernacle that God ordained, that God told Moses specifically every detail, every little detail. So you know it was important to God. And he said, be sure. He told Moses, be sure and follow every little detail. So if it's important to God, I think there's some value in it for us to study it because we can learn more about Jesus from it.
Amen.
But you know, you can look at a picture of me all day long and you can see what color of hair I have or how tall I am and you know, a lot of things about me. But and so this in a sense is what this is about. It's like a picture, an image. But if we didn't have that picture, we wouldn't know as much as what the Holy Ghost teaches through Hebrews.
Amen.
So I thank God that we do have that picture, and we're going to learn something about it. Nevertheless, we need more than a picture, don't we?
Amen.
We need the Holy Ghost inside us.
Come on.
And that's the difference in the old and the new, as we'll see. Okay, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the Son. The sum, the crowning truth of all of it, the revelation, the top of the revelation, the mountain peak of the revelation, so to speak. You know what the sum is in mathematics? 2 + 2 = 4. 4 is the sum. So after you take all the parts, this is the sum. We have such an high priest. That's the sum of all of it. Jesus is our high priest. Hallelujah. Who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man.
Amen.
Now this is not talking about the temple. Herod's temple did not have the Ark of the Covenant in it. That was somehow, I guess, left in Babylon, some Jewish scholars say. But it did not have the Ark of the Covenant in Herod's temple. And when they applied the blood in Herod's temple, they applied it in the place where it would have been, where the mercy seat would have been. But this is talking about the tabernacle in the wilderness, the pattern that God gave to Moses. And so we're talking about Jesus Christ is the minister or the high priest of the true tabernacle. You know, if there's a copy of something, there's got to be the real thing. And Jesus is the high priest of the real thing.
Amen.
So whatever is on earth is the copy. Well, I don't want just a copy. I want the real thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Well, that's just telling us the business of the high priest. the occupation of the high priest. That was his job, to offer gifts and sacrifices in the tabernacle. So it's saying that Jesus must also have something. If he's the high priest of the heavenly tabernacle, of the true tabernacle, he must have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. It's already been done on earth, I believe he's saying here. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. Okay, that's just what I said. The earthly is the example, the shadow, the copy, the figurative representation of the real thing, of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. God, when Moses went up to the mount for 40 days and 40 nights, and, you know, then he came back and broke the tablets and went back up again for 40 days and 40 nights. Didn't eat or drink anything the whole time for 80 days and 80 nights. Unless he grabbed something to eat after he broke the tablets, we don't know. It doesn't tell us. When he was in that mount all that time, God showed him heavenly things. He had visions and revelations of heavenly things. Amen. And I believe he probably saw Jesus. I believe he probably saw the Messiah in the future doing what was supposed to be done. Because it talks about, Jesus even talks about how Moses and the prophets spoke of him. Moses spoke of him. So, you know, all the Old Testament, it's about Jesus. This whole word is Jesus.
Amen.
Look over in chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. That goes right along with verse 4 and 5. Which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Oh, now keep up with me. This is good news. We're going to show you. Okay, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Better covenant, better promises. That's what we have, and that's what we need to labor to enter into and to gain the understanding of. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now, God uses reason sometimes to, he gave us minds. And sometimes we can use reason. Now, too much reasoning will get in the way of God. Will get in the way of the Holy Spirit. But God is, he's smart. And he gave us reason. And a lot of times you can reason things and it makes sense. You know, and he'll give you the understanding when you reason things out. Well, think about this. In the Old Covenant, now this is just logical. In the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, it says that, over and over, it says many places, that there will be a new covenant. I will make a new covenant with them. I believe that's on in this chapter too, and it's a reference to back in the Old Testament. It's the exact words from the Old Testament. He said, I will make a new covenant. Well, if someone's going to make a new contract, then you don't want to go by the old anymore. That's already telling you that the old will not be in effect anymore. That's already saying that when I make that new covenant, the old won't be in effect anymore. That's logical. That makes sense. If you have a contract with a business partner, and you sit down with them in a meeting, you say, okay, we're going to make a new contract here. We need to change some things. And there are things about this contract that don't work so well, and it's not working out for our best benefit. And so we're going to change the contract. So you make an agreement with your partner. We're going to change the contract. Well, it's logical. It's reasonable. It's obvious that if you change the contract, you do away with the old. You tear it up. It's no good anymore. It may have got you to a certain point, and thank God for that, because it got you to a certain point. But then you see, well, there's some things wrong, things we need to change. That's what he's saying here. If that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. But it wasn't just sought now. It was already told about before. And if you ever had the opportunity to witness to a Jewish person, you can use some reasoning. Because someone without the Holy Spirit That's all they have to go by. So you can use some reasoning, and you can say, well, if God already said in the Old Testament, because that's all they have, that there's going to be a new covenant, then that means sooner or later the old is going to be done away with. Or sooner or later the old won't be in effect. That makes sense, and that's God's word. See, so you can kind of, you can use logic there. That's just a tidbit there. For finding fault with them, he saith, verse 8, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For, and we'll see why as we go along. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If all we had were the laws written in this book, you know, the Jewish scholars have, many of the ultra-Orthodox have practically the whole Old Testament memorized.
Amen.
Many scholars study this word.
Come on.
Old Testament, New Testament, they study this word. Not the Jewish scholars, but other scholars. They know the word. If this is all we had was the book, we wouldn't have any more than the Old Covenant. Because that's all they had, were the laws written in tablets of stone. The laws written down in the law of Moses, in the Torah. That's all they had. Hallelujah. That's not all we have. Praise God for the Bible and for this word, because it is our contract. It's a copy of the contract we have with God, and it shows us what we have. But this is not all we have. This word is not all we have. The piece of paper or the contract is not all we have. Because he said, the new covenant, he will write the laws on our minds. Ooh, that's good. That's why you have no need that any man teach you. Now, God set forth teachers in the body. That may, you may say, well, that's a contradiction in the Bible. And if you're using your natural mind, you'll find a lot of contradictions in the Bible. But if you're using the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of God's using you, then you will see there's nothing that contradicts. But, you know, it says that you have no need that any man teach you. That's scriptural. But then it also says God put forth teachers in the church, pastors and et cetera. Teachers are set forth just to tell you and to help you learn what's in your contract. But that contract, when the Holy Spirit enters you, when you're saved, that contract is inside you and it's written on your heart. And then when you start reading about what you've got in there, it makes a connection in your mind. And then the faith that God put in you, the Spirit of God in you, makes that connection. And then the power of it comes forth. Hallelujah. Now that's good news. We have a new, we have a better covenant based on better promises. Otherwise, we wouldn't be any better off than they were. Even if Jesus, the Son of God, offered His blood and went up and sat on the right hand of the throne of God, which He did, we wouldn't be any better off. But He gave us this. He gave us this. Let's see what He says here. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And in 2 Corinthians 6:16 it says, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Hallelujah. 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 And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, verse 11, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, because of the Holy Ghost inside us. Not just the written word. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You know, you can chop somebody apart with this word if you're not speaking to them in love by the word, by the Spirit. If you're not speaking by the Spirit, if you're only speaking out of your own mind, Amen. You can just cut somebody to pieces with the word of God. The letter kills. Because that's using the letter of the law, saying, don't do this and don't do that. And that's why so many Christians so many people in a lot of churches, they go and they feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit. They come to the altar and they want to give their lives to the Lord and they confess their sins and then they go out and you see them go back into the world and they don't stay with the Lord. It's because they're not understanding that the Spirit of God is in them to teach them in a personal way, not through a man that only goes in once a year, like the high priest did then. You don't need me to go into the presence of God for you. I do that. I go into the presence of God and I pray for you. And we all need each other to do that. But you can go yourself. Each person. There's from the least to the greatest, he said. There's none greater than another. All shall know me from the least to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you know, as soon as you confess your sins, they're gone. As a matter of fact, they were already washed away 2,000 years ago. All you have to do is accept it and believe it. They're already gone. And it's only the mind, the enemy coming against your mind that says you're some big sinner. You're not a sinner. You're a saint. If you're born again, you're not a sinner. And I don't like to hear people, when they pray, just say, oh, we're just, help us, Lord. We're just a bunch of old sinners. No, that is denying the word that God spoke to us.
Amen.
He said, you are my righteousness. He took our sin upon himself. Well, if somebody takes your burden and your sin, you don't have it anymore, do you? If you're carrying a load of books and I come and take them out of your arms, you don't have them anymore. You can claim them if you want to. You can go around saying, I still have this load. But it's denying the truth of God. And all it'll do is blind your mind and make you feel burdened down and condemned. That's what the enemy wants to do to you. Make you feel condemned. But you are clean by the blood of Jesus, and it was already done, and it's a continual cleansing. You don't have to remember what you did yesterday. You can start fresh every morning, every moment. Every moment. If you made a mistake on the way to church, you can just go on from there. That is such good news. You don't have to wait till that once a year, and Lord, help us. Yom Kippur passed that once a year thing, where the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies once a year. That was back in September. So, you know, if you sin the next day, you've got to wait the whole year.
Thank you.
But we don't have to. That's why it's so much more of a better covenant. And we're free. We're free. We have liberty all the time, every moment. If we'll just learn to walk in it and accept it and receive it. But that's what teachers are here for, to help you know, because this is a pretty big contract. To help you know what's in your contract so that you can walk in it. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Do you know that the high priest, when he went in there, he had to make sure everything was done right? I mean, if you read Leviticus sometime, just sit down and read it through. Don't even try to understand it too much. Just read it through and it will just bumfuzzle you. Because it's just, you know, you got to put the blood on the right earlobe, you got to put it on the right thumb, the right toe, you've got to sprinkle it here, and you've got to sprinkle it there, and you've got to do the hyssop and dip it in the water and the blood and do everything perfectly. And no telling how many high priests were pulled out of there by that rope that was tied around their ankle. Because if they hadn't done something perfectly, the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, the presence of God is so, he's so holy. And so it's that holiness. See, that's why if you don't go in by the blood, you go into his presence by the blood, not of your own self.
Amen.
You can be the biggest sinner in the universe. There's no sin that's greater than that blood. You can be the biggest sinner in the universe 1 minute and the next moment confess your sins before God with a true heart, and go right into the presence of God. Isn't that marvelous? You don't have to wait a year. You don't have to wait a month. You don't have to wait for some preacher to come and lead you in or go in for you. You can go in yourself right into the very Holy of Holies, the presence of God, the glory of God. But you can't go in on your own. You can't say, well, I've prayed all day. We tend to do that sometimes. That's the flesh tends to say, well, you know, I can feel the presence of God today because I haven't done anything wrong. And years ago, I was dealing with a bondage in my life, and it just seemed like the harder I prayed, the worse it got. I'd get up every morning, I'd say, today I'm going to do better. Today I'm going to do better. And then I'd mess up again. And so when I messed up, then I would feel so condemned. And I'd feel like I can't go before God. And then one day I didn't mess up. I had a good day. And I didn't lose my temper. I didn't mess up. And oh, I was just praising the Lord and basking in His glory and having such a good time. And He spoke to me and He said, what makes you think today is any different than yesterday?
Come on.
Amen.
Boy, that just really got me. He said, my blood was no different yesterday than it is today. You don't enter in by your own, whether you sin or whether you don't sin, whether you make a little mistake or not. And we're striving for perfection. We're not supposed to take that as an excuse and just say, well, you know, the blood covers it. We are striving for the perfection of Jesus. That's,
amen.
You've heard me preach that many times. That's scriptural. That's biblical. Perfection. He said, be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Amen.
And God the Father is perfect.
Amen.
But it's the blood.
Come on.
It's the blood. And it's the Holy Spirit in us that does the work. It's not a trying religion like other religions that you have to try to dress right and try to pray at the right times. Other religions in the world, you have to sit in funny positions and meditate for hours and hours. I used to do that. Oh, and I thought I was doing really great the longer I could sit in an uncomfortable position. Praise God, His mercy on me. Or I'd probably still be doing that. But in my heart, I was searching for the truth. And I wouldn't take anybody else's word for it. I wouldn't go to church because my parents did or because they taught me that. I said, I have to know the truth for myself.
Amen.
And every one of you should be the same.
Amen.
And if you are seeking the truth, God is so gracious, He will reveal Himself to you by His Spirit. Hallelujah. You wear the robes of righteousness. And if you come in here and don't have them on, well, we'll be glad to just throw one on you. We'll be glad to just say, come. It's easy. God has made it easy for us.
Amen.
By the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not a trying religion. It's a done religion. You know, when one good thing about the ministry that I got saved under in the first church that I got in, they told me what a serious business it was. They said, it'll cost you everything, maybe even your very physical life. They said, don't put your hand to the plow and, you know, then turn back and count your, don't start a building and count and see if you have enough to finish it. And I said, Lord, I cannot be a Christian. I can't be a Christian. And, you know, I still can't be a Christian. And you can't either. There is not a single one of us that can do it. But it's Jesus in us that does the work. I said, Lord, I can't be a Christian, but if you do it through me, I'll let you. If you do it for me, I'll cooperate as best I can with you. That's what Christianity, true Christianity is. It's not us trying to do good works. And we do try to do good. We try to do what's right. We study the Word. We try to do what's right. We try not to hurt anyone. But when you do something wrong, and knowingly the Holy Spirit will say, wait a minute, if you'll be sensitive to Him. So He does it through us. He took away the desires that I used to have. If you're a new believer, or if you've, you know, been away from the Lord for a while, if you've been away from Him, it's just because you haven't had the strength of the Word in you to make everything work. And to get that agreement with the Spirit of God that's in you. But He's so faithful, He'll keep bugging you until you come back. But if you'll just let Him and cooperate with Him, He'll live the life through you.
Amen.
You know, you see all these programs for alcoholism and drug addicts and things like that. And praise the Lord for doctors and all of that, for people that don't have the Lord. Or don't have the faith, or don't have the knowledge. People perish from lack of knowledge of what's in the contract. But if you will let the Lord, He'll take away desires. And He'll put new ones. It says He gives us the desires of our heart. Some people interpret that to mean that whatever you want, He'll give it to you. No, He gives you the desires and makes you want new things and makes you not want old things. I didn't change myself. He changed me. He does the work. And that is the main good news about the new covenant is the Holy Spirit doing the work through us, making this Word alive in us. Jesus was the Word made flesh. We're flesh made Word by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. He works in us to make this Word alive so that it's not tablets of stone. It's alive in us. It's not just a set of rules and regulations like other religions. Don't do this and don't do that. And do this at this set time. And if anybody tries to put you in bondage by saying you've got to pray a certain number of hours a day and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. Now the Lord may give you some instructions and He may give you some projects and some homework and some assignments and things like that. That's all right. But don't let other people put you into bondage. We're free. The Lord is the one that will cause you, if you'll let Him, He'll cause you, He'll make you pray if you let Him. And don't resist Him. Hallelujah.